Kiss 104, Atlanta's best R&B. I'm Monica Pearson, and this is a wonderful Sunday. Can you believe this is the last Sunday in the month of September? Where did this month go? Well, today my guest is Dr. Jeannie Burnett, and we're going to talk about eating disorders. They don't just affect young women. And we're going to give away some tickets today to see Beauty Shop. And Dr. Jeannie's kind enough to give a twosome. And by that, I mean to a golf tournament that is tomorrow. And then we've got some books to give away, too. So stick around, because we've got a lot of good stuff going on for you today. You're listening to Kiss 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. Kiss 104, Atlanta's best R&B. This is Monica Pearson. Thanks for joining us this Sunday. My guest today is a friend who keeps me laughing, Dr. Jeannie Burnett. She's actually a clinical psychologist, certified eating disorder specialist, and she is the founder of the Manna Treatment and Counseling Center. Now, first, we've got to talk about the name. It didn't hit me until this morning when I was sitting in church. Manna, what God gave to the Israelites for 40 years. But how does that tie in with what you're doing?
Well, Monica, great to see you again. Manna obviously is in the desert, and it was God's provision for them on a daily basis. It was their food. And if you read further into the story, they couldn't take too much. They couldn't take too little. Every bit that they took was enough for them for the day. And then on the Sabbath day, they could take enough for 2 days. Now, they couldn't save it. They couldn't squander it away, or it would spoil. And so the crossover is people with eating disorders struggle with remembering one of our basic skills, which is how to eat. There's too much emotion tied up in it. And so my prayer for people who have eating disorders and who come into the Manna Treatment Center or to Manna Fund is that they would learn how to, again, depend on God every day for their daily sustenance, their daily bread. And the name Manna also means gift from God. And so we are also giving them a gift of treatment that they couldn't otherwise get on their own because of lack of insurance or lack of funding or whatever. So that's the whole tie-in, is to, again, depend on God and take what they need every day, not too much and not too little.
Now, as a psychologist, I think people would think you have book knowledge only, but you've been through this, a personal experience, at 14.
Absolutely. A friend of mine used to say, it takes one to know one. So, yes. And it's amazing, because as I sit down and I work with people who come in either for the eating disorder-based counseling or the biblical counseling or whatever, when I tell them that I was there and that I understand what it means for them to have to binge or to purge or to restrict and all of the mindset that goes with that, it immediately makes a connection between myself and them. And so they just feel a little safer in the room. So,
well, how do you know if you have an eating disorder, or what are the symptoms or the signs of an eating disorder? And I know it can start as young as 7.
Yes, actually, I have, yes, 6 and 7. Once a child understands that they have a body and that people can look at it and kind of judge their body, then they learn to judge their own bodies. So there's this different level of awareness that goes on. Then they can begin to develop an eating disorder. They can also watch parents, moms or dads. There's social media issues, you know, and there's so much shame connected to, you know, when someone is judging another person's body, or they learn to judge themselves. You know, I'm supposed
so
to.
So if your mom is a constant dieter, then
looking in the mirror going, oh, my gosh, my legs are too fat. My thighs are too fat. The children just naturally learn to judge different parts of themselves.
Now, with children, if a mom is sitting there and a dad, how do you know, and that's the other thing, if your son or daughter.
Absolutely.
Because I think a lot of people think that this only happens to girls, but it can also happen to boys.
Yes. In fact, I have a story where we were I was actually not there, but there were a couple of my therapists that were had a booth at one of the festivals around, and a very large African-American gentleman came up, looked like he could have been a football player, probably in his early 20s, started crying when he found out what we did. And he pointed to his skin and he said, people of my color and my and you know, guys don't have eating disorders, but I do. And he started crying. And it was just, I mean, it's amazing when I speak about eating disorders, wherever I go, people come out of the woodwork. My sister or my brother or I, you know, I've had 30-year-old men come in that are bulimics. I know a 50-year-old man that's a bulimic. And so it's a pervasive issue. In fact, women who are the second kind of age group that have the highest levels of eating disorders, like the beginning of them, is between 40 and 50.
Wow. 40 yeah. and 50.
Yeah. Because if you think about it, that's like kind of a post-divorce, post-children, second half of their
life. And your self-esteem drops.
Exactly. When there's loss in your life and there's change like that, there's a huge, like, who am I? And, oh, my gosh, my body needs to change. I've got to get back out there in the dating world or whatever. So it's something that people can control.
So what's the difference between anorexia and bulimia? And when we come back, I'm going to let you explain that, because I think most people don't know the definitions and then what the symptoms are, because you can hide both.
Absolutely.
Okay. Stick with us, folks. Coming up, we're also going to give you tickets. Tickets to what? Well, there's a live stage play presentation written by the godfather of urban theater, Shelley Garrett, called Beauty Shop. You know, this is hilarious. They're going to be in town October 15th through the 18th at the Cumberland Auditorium. It stars Darian Wilson, Jackie Christie, Tony Terry, Willie Brown, and Woody. Now, you know, Woody Brown and Willie, that's a ventriloquist in his dummy. So experience the magic. It's going to be wonderful to see Beauty Shop again. And if you would like to go see Beauty Shop, here's all you got to do. Be the 14th caller at 404-741-0104. And you're going to get tickets to go see Beauty Shop. Kiss 104, this is the best radio station you've ever had. Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. I'm Monica Pearson. My guest today, Dr. Jeannie Burnett, clinical psychologist and certified eating disorder specialist. Now, Jeannie, before we came to our music break, I was asking you about the difference, because I don't think I really know the difference between someone who's anorexic and someone who has bulimia. What are the definitions?
So anorexia is someone who falls far below, probably at around a 75 percentile of what they should weigh, their ideal body weight. So if they're 5 foot and they should weigh 100 pounds, they would weigh about 75 pounds. But the other mental and physical parts are that they want to lose the weight. They think that they're fat. They have this obsession with food. They have this obsession with all different kinds, like making food. Sometimes they will become chefs, but they won't eat. And because they feel like they're too fat. And really what's going on inside is they have a lot of things emotionally that they're trying to stuff inside of themselves. And so food doesn't fit.
And then for the bulimic?
Those are the people that will eat. A lot of times they will binge. Sometimes they won't binge necessarily, but they will binge. They'll eat a lot of food at one time, and then they will get rid of it in some way through exercise, through vomiting, through
laxatives,
which really doesn't work. But so there's a lot of different ways. Maybe they'll eat one day and they won't eat the next. So there's a lot of compensatory ways that they try and get rid of those calories.
And what should you look out for as an adult or as a parent if you have a son or daughter who maybe is not eating the way they should?
Lots of different things, such as they're always talking about food or they're talking about their body. If someone is bulimic, maybe they're eating dinner, they're eating something, and then they're going to the bathroom right away, or they're making up excuses to not eat or to not come to the table. There's just this, and they're always obsessed about weight or exercise. A lot of extremes in weight, like losing a lot or gaining a lot.
And then that, I guess it takes you to the point of how much, particularly in the teenage years, if you're in high school and people are calling you fat and you're really just the right size, but your friends are calling you fat. What about this fat shaming and then people getting on the internet and on social media picking on you?
Well, it's definitely increased the number. In fact, we have about 500,000 kids at any point in time in the United States that have some form of an eating disorder. And the point is one of the things that we're trying to do through our Mana Fund website and through our nonprofit is to help prevent eating disorders from actually occurring.
And that's why I love the book that you've written. It's called You're Not Alone. And this is a prevention book, you say.
Absolutely. And it's not just for teens or younger kids. It's for everyone. I've had adults buy it for themselves that struggle with eating issues or their body or their body image. I've had men buy it. I mean, it's really a message for everyone.
Because the statements in it, like you start this first section, have you ever said, I'm so fat, or I wish I looked like? And then behind it, you have words of encouragement from people who have been through it. I'm just going to read one. Erica, age 24, anorexia and bulimia. You aren't fat and you are beautiful inside and out. Comparing yourself to someone else isn't realistic because everyone has a different body type than another.
Right. And it's just celebrating the uniqueness and the beauty of each and every human being.
I like this one from Kitty, age 17. Your body is the temple of your soul. You can decorate it, clothe it, paint it, adorn it with jewelry, and sculpt it with exercise. But you must never destroy it or your soul will have no place to live.
Yes. The main focus is from people who have had eating disorders and are in recovery or have been through recovery. I also do believe you can fully recover. I have fully recovered from my eating disorder from when I was 14. So it is possible.
And what I like also in this book, there is a section where it's two blank pages where you just put my words. Why was that important to include?
Well, because once someone has read all of these amazing statements, you know, maybe they can say some things to themselves, things that have, or maybe something that someone else has said to them. And so it's a place for them to just jot down their own words of encouragement for themselves or someone else.
I love this in the end. I really hope that you now understand that you are an amazing person, that there is no one else ever that will have your mind, heart, and body. Please use your voice. Speak your truth in a healthy way. Find a role model and then become one. Find someone you trust to listen, care, and help you understand that. You are not alone. And then on the back, this little girl dancing, you are beautiful. Oh, I love that.
It's a very sweet book. I'm so happy the way it came together.
Well, if you'd like a copy of the book, you can buy one at www.manafund.org, www.manafund.org, or you can be the 14th caller, and I'll give you a copy of this book. But hold on, don't call just yet. 404, you know the number, 7410104, because I have something else to tell you about. And that is October 2nd through the 4th. There's a big conference coming to town, the Platform Summit, 2.5-day conference with the mission of diversifying the innovation economy. Now, there's a speaker lineup that is really something else. Real innovators and thinkers, entrepreneurs, discussing topics that are critical in the new world of technology. And one of those speakers, you remember her, Star Jones, TV celebrity, also a lawyer. The Platform Summit will be held at the Ray Charles Performing Arts Center at Morehouse College. Tickets are almost sold out, but guess what? You can get a discount still if you work on this real fast. Platform.org, and then use the discount code radio. Platform.org. Use the discount code radio for a 25% discount. Visit kiss104fm.com for more details. And now, if you're the 14th caller, I'm going to give you a copy of this book, You're Not Alone. It is so encouraging. It's not just for people suffering from disorders. It's from people suffering from self-esteem and just need a lift. And here are people who've been through it, and they want to help you. 14th caller, 404-741-0104. You're listening to KISS. KISS 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. This is Monica Pearson. And congratulations to our winner, Michelle Thomas, who won the book, You're Not Alone. Now you know what time it is. Happy birthday. Hey, Rick Kelsey is 44. Gregory Lyons is 61. QP Jones, happy birthday. Carol Robinson, happy birthday. It's the big 4-0 for Anthony Barrow. Charles Person is 73. Devon Barner is 35. Kenzie Gabrielle, happy birthday. Along with Calvin Bailey, Nicole Parks, Deborah Thornton turns 52 today. And Obi Nawa, Josephine, happy birthday. And Melanie McKenzie. Now, those are some of my Facebook friends, but we have our famous birthdays today. Did you know Avril Lavigne turned 31 today? Actress Gwyneth Paltrow is 43. Now, many of you may not remember Meatloaf. No, we're not talking about what you eat. We're talking about the rock singer Meatloaf. He's 68, and two people are actually now really into their 30s and 40s. Rappers. Trick Daddy is 42, and Lil Wayne is 33. How about that? I wonder if he has 33 tattoos to match his age. Well, you're listening to KISS, and when we come back, you know I'm going to give away some tickets to a golf tournament tomorrow, thanks to Dr. Jeannie Burnett and the Mana Fund. Stay with us. KISS 104, Atlanta's best R&B on this wonderful last Sunday in the month of September. Dr. Jeannie Burnett is still here, and we're talking about eating disorders. At this point, we first met when I was a part of the Be the Model fashion show, and it was really about being the role model in the fashion show. But the funds raised from the fashion show, also from the book and from the golf tournament tomorrow, go to providing help for people who can't afford treatment. Talk about that, Jeannie.
Yes, ma'am. I, as a therapist, had people coming in my office and were severely, severely sick. And there wasn't a whole lot I could do ethically, and would try and get them in treatment. And either they didn't have insurance, didn't have enough insurance, had exhausted their insurance, didn't have the funds to pay for it. And so it scared me enough. And I was fortunate when I was 15 to be able to go into the hospital. I stayed 6.5 weeks. And because my parents were poor at that point in time, someone helped stepped in and helped us. And so that's what the Mana Fund is all about. We pay for the highest levels of care. We pay for residential treatment. We pay up to three. Well, we'll pay for someone as long as we have the funding and as long as they need the care. But literally, we have actually pulled a woman out of hospice who was in hospice for her eating disorder and gave her 3 months worth of treatment to save her life.
Well, I noticed you had given away, you've raised $950,000, and you've placed 22 people in treatment. So treatment is not cheap.
No, 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 no. It costs an average of $30,000 to $50,000 per person. We've spent, and that's a third of the cost for us. We put someone in for 90 days, and the hospitals are so amazing that they will give us a reduced cost. So the most that we've spent on any one person is $55,000.
So this is all about, first, prevention. Secondly, if you're already in it, you can get treatment.
Absolutely.
What's the long-term look? Are you ever really out of treatment if you've suffered from an eating disorder?
Well, yeah, like I just said, I believe in full recovery. And many therapists out there do believe in full recovery. And recovery, in my mind, does not end when you have stopped doing the restricting or the behaving, you know, the purging or the binging. It continues on. You've got so much emotional stuff in there that really helps develop an eating disorder. Most people don't really understand that eating disorders are really emotional disorders. And really, there's a phrase and there's a website that we've created called Talk It Out, Use Your Voice, Not Your Body. And that is what everything is about. That's the prevention aspect. It's if you're bothered by something and you need to talk about it, but you don't. Yes. That's exactly what we are for, and that's why we pay for treatment. And that's really what's going on in treatment, is to get people kind of reprogrammed and to talk about the things that they've kept in, that they've kept secret or hidden inside.
How hard is it for people to understand these disorders? Because it seems like most people go, oh, come on. Why would you starve yourself to death?
Right. In fact, I have a friend that's also in radio, and he used to say, can't you just give him a jelly donut? And speaking of the anorexics. It's a scary thing. People don't understand it. They don't want to talk about it. There's a lot of shame in the people that have eating disorders. They think they're the only ones. And I'm here to tell you that you're not. There are more people out there that have eating disorders. So we really don't have adequate statistics when we say that 25 million females in the United States have eating disorders and 10 million men have them. That's just not adequate because people don't talk about it.
Well, that's why you're on the show today. And again, if you are interested in the book, You Are Not Alone, you can go to www.mannafund.org. And by buying this book, you not only will be helping someone with information, but the funds raised go for treatment for people who cannot afford it.
100%.
100%. Now, do I have a deal for you? Through her generosity, tomorrow there is a golf tournament at St. Ives Country Club. All you got to do is show up at 9, shotgun at 10. She's giving away a twosome. Now, what does that mean? This is a $400 value. You're going to get it for free if you're the 14th caller. Now, this is a double treat today. So I'm taking caller number 14 at 404-741-0104. And then, that's strictly for the golf. And then I'm taking caller number 15 for two tickets to the live stage play presentation written by the godfather of urban theater, Shelley Garrett. You remember Beauty Shop? It is hilarious. It's going to be the Cumberland Auditorium, October 15th through 18th. Y'all are already calling. Okay, caller number 14 is going to get the golf tournament twosome. Caller number 15 is going to get the tickets to see Beauty Shop. Hey, we care. Kiss cares. Kiss 104, Atlanta's best R&B. It's Monica Pearson. Dr. Jeannie Burnett is here with me. I've told you, we've been talking the last 2 hours about eating disorders, but what we're going to talk about now is how this is so faith-based. We've got a lot of people coming out of church now, and we began talking about how this is tied to manna, as in the Bible, that God provided food every day, but just enough for what you needed. If you took too much, it spoiled. If you didn't take enough, you got enough. And it's not letting food control you. But you explained to me that it's very important that people realize this is faith-based.
Yes. I am a Christian, and it just is a part of who I am. And so anything and everything that I do is about God, it's for God, but it's also that because I've had this issue, and in fact I remember when I was 17 and I was like, God, why do you hate me so much? Like, why have you allowed this to happen to me? And I looked at myself as a victim, and in some ways it is. People don't set out to become eating disordered, much like they don't set out to become alcoholics or addicts of other things. And so I cried out to God then, even though I didn't have like as deep of a relationship with God as I do now. And I want people to depend on God like He wants us to, like we're supposed to, every day for everything. You know, there's a verse that talks about pray without ceasing. And I think so much of the way our lives are lived today is so busy, and we don't think about it, and we don't think about God. And I tell you, I told you earlier that God is just continuing to bring things to me, people to me, that make me know and just confirm that this is exactly what I am supposed to do.
Because this is the Manna Fund, is the nonprofit part of what you do. And let's talk about some of your dreams. One of them is you want a coffee house.
Yes. For, I guess, 3 or 4 years, I've thought about having a coffee house that is run by people that have had eating disorders or other kinds of addictions. And, you know, we'll have our baristas, and And downstairs, it'll be very eclectic. There will be chalkboard walls where people can come in and write their thoughts and just project their crap onto the wall. And upstairs, we'll have art therapy. Next to it, we'll have a stage where they can come and sing and do acts and plays and just different, you know, expressive modes of therapy. And then adjacent to it, we'll have a real actual place where you can go to have therapy for your eating disorder. In fact, we're also going to be starting our intensive outpatient program, I'm hoping at some point during early next year. And I'm talking with donors who are going to help us do all of this. And if you are a donor and you have a heart for this, please contact me. I would love to hear from you and get you involved in what we're doing.
But how do you do this? How do you treat someone with a disorder? What are some of the things they go through when they're in treatment? What are the questions you ask?
Well, the first very, very basic thing that I want to make sure is that, are they medically stable? I have physicians that know eating disorders, and so I make sure that their blood work is fine and that they're, you know, some people who have anorexia, their heart rates get down to in the 40s and the 30s. And so, I mean, there are people who, if they go to sleep, their heart rate almost stops. Like, so it's so stressful on their body. In fact, anorexia is the number one killer of teens between the ages of 12 and 21.
Oh, that's frightening.
And people just don't understand. And it's a huge problem. Nobody asks for it. What was your other question?
The point was, what else is a part of the treatment?
Oh, sorry. So once we get them medically stable, then we talk about their food, and I get them connected with a dietitian. I try and stay out of the food and the weight. And then I work on what's going on emotionally. What are they stuffing inside? What are they needing to say, and who do they need to say it to? What do they need to connect with inside of themselves? And so I guide them through that whole process. I went through that process, and having that kind of wisdom and insight about what's going on inside your body will help break that chain connected to the food.
Do you see one thing that seems to be commonplace with everyone? One thing that's low, is it like low self-esteem?
No, that's actually another byproduct. A lot of it is pain. People are in pain. They're in emotional pain. They've had losses. They've had abuse. When you're young and you don't have the ability to communicate, or you don't have the words, and there's something going on with you, or you're in pain, and a lot of people don't feel comfortable with their own emotions, anger or sadness or grief, and so they just stuff it. And that is what I have to do, is I have to sort of get in there, find the seed, that kernel of pain, and lance it so that it can come out, because God created us as a vessel and not a container.
Well, one of the things I think in the Black community, we do not, in many instances, one, want to go to a therapist. Two, we don't think we can be anorexic or bulimic. And I think that's a wall you've got to break down also.
Yep, it's true. And yeah, there are many people in the African American community that a lot of times will just eat. And so there's the binging. But, you know, binging and excess weight is like a wall, and it's a protection to try and keep people away. And it's effective, but people get lost in there and they lose who they are and what caused them to do that. And that's what I'm trying to help them do.
Well, thank you so much, Jeannie, for being on today. And folks, if you really want more information, please go to www.manafund.org. Now, Jeannie has been extremely generous today by giving away twosome, but she's now decided, you know what? More people need to come to the golf tournament tomorrow at St. Ives Country Club. So here's what she is doing. She is going to allow you to come for half price. That means your, what do you call that fee? I don't pay play golf. But anyway.
Your entry fee.
Your entry fee will be $100. All she needs is your name and your handicap. Now, I have women golf friends who are now running to the phone. Don't call me. Don't call me. I'm going to give you the information right now. If you want to play tomorrow, all you have to do is email her at info@manafund.org. Again, info@manafund.org. You're getting 50% off the golf tournament tomorrow at St. Ives. The important thing is you need to be there at 9 o'clock. Well, that's it for us. The time went by quickly. Marco Simmons is up next. And remember what Mama Hattie says, it's what you do with what you have that makes you what you are. Don't make excuses, make work. See you on Monday. I'm working for Sasha. Bye.